Good morning and welcome to the live broadcast from 8th Reformed Church located at 841 Burton Street Southwest in Wyoming, Michigan. Today, Pastor Mark Bergsma will bring a message titled Outside the Box from Scripture found in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 to 9. This is Scott Pastor inviting you to stay tuned for the next hour as we join the service this morning.
Welcome to worship this morning, and before we go any further, I want to just take a moment to say thank you to Paul for just a beautiful prelude today. Thank you so much. Paul has such immense talent, and when he was laid up and in the hospital, we missed him a lot, didn't we? And every week he treats us to that kind of prelude, and what an entrance to worship that is. Well, thank you for being here. And if you're visiting with us today, a special welcome to you. We always love to welcome visitors, and we do have coffee and goodies after the church service, and we invite you to stay and get to know you a little bit better. If you're joining us via Jethro Radio or online, welcome to you also. And also, welcome to those who will join us through YouTube. And I want to take a moment to thank Doug and Dawn and Nathan for the work that they do in this pioneering effort to get us on the TV. And the productions are really quite good. If you've not seen them, speaker notwithstanding. The productions are excellent, and I want to thank them for getting us started in that new area of technology, and welcome all those who are viewing via YouTube TV. Remember Pastor Harry and Beth, too, as they're away, a little bit of a break for them, a time of refreshment, and they'll be back again next Sunday. Our opening of worship today is a very simple one, and it happens to be right at the very beginning of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, something we all know in our heart, and yet it's good to hear those words and be refreshed. The God that we are worshiping this morning is the God who created all things. Amen? The opening number today is number 8, Come Thou Almighty King. Let's stand to sing.
Thank you.
Father, what a joy it is for us to be in your house. This is a special place to us, a holy place, a place for us to come apart from our day-to-day lives and spend time in your presence. We know that when your people gather, you gather with them. With great joy, you receive us this morning. And Father, we thank you for that welcome. We come in Jesus' name. We come remembering all that he did for us. We come celebrating the freedom that he gives us from our sins and the promise that he gives us of eternal life. We pray your blessing on every person who comes here today, some with heavy hearts, some with many, many cares on their minds, some with pains, physical pains, some with questions left unanswered about their future. We pray that in all of this, the Holy Spirit may move among us and speak to us. May we feel your presence. May this be a time of your assurance and your love. We come now in Jesus' name, and we come for his sake. Amen. Thank you, choir. Thank you, Paul. Always fun to sing great songs like that. As we go to prayer today, there are obviously several people in the bulletin that need our prayers. Again, remember Pastor Harry and Beth on their little brief vacation. Remember the hymn sing that's coming up. There's literature now circulating about that. It'll be right here at 8th, And the organizers tell us it'll be April 6th, which is right around the corner at 2:30 in the afternoon on a Sunday. And the program will feature Roger and Kathy Billings, Paul and Joyce Carmichael, and Paul Kirkstra on organ, Ruth Barr on piano, David Ellis on trumpet, Terry Groters is a song leader. And that should be just a wonderful time of singing some of the great old hymns. Lots of prayer concerns and praises. Most of them are listed in your bulletin. Thankful that Terry's back with us and singing again, and just a really a miraculous turnaround from the mild stroke that he suffered last week. Also listed there, Dave Conrad from Jethro, dealing with some kidney issues. Tina in a car accident, and thankful for her not being seriously injured in that. Jim Verstrat is doing much better. I talked to him this week, and he is feeling much better after his bout with influenza. So much sickness going around, isn't there? And then Keith Warren's aunt Marilyn fell and broke four vertebrae in her back. So keep her in your prayers. Just lots of people dealing with health issues. And it's important for us as a church family to come together and pray for them. Use your bulletin as a prayer guide, and it will take you right through the lives of people that you care about and remind you to lift them up before Almighty God. Let's come together in prayer, shall we? Father, it is good for us to take some time and get quiet before you. Sometimes we just have so much to lay before you, so much to tell you, that we come chattering away as we pray. Sometimes the most important thing that we can do, Father, is to be quiet and to listen and to hear your Spirit whisper to us that you're there, that you care, that you will never leave us or forsake us. Father, I want to lift up those who are going through physical issues and who, Father, are dealing with many questions that don't have answers right now about their future. The one thing that we know by faith is that no matter what happens to us physically, our future is secure because of you. And we will forever and ever be praising you for that very fact. You've gone to extraordinary lengths, sending your Son into this world on our behalf to die for us, to make sure that by simple faith, we will be a part of your eternal family. And so we thank you, Father, that we look ahead even to the day when we will draw our last physical breath and know that our life will go on uninterrupted because of your power, because of what we saw in Jesus on Resurrection Day, because you're a God of life. Thank you that you give that life to us so freely and that we can sing about it from week to week and day to day and celebrate it. Father, I do pray for those facing health issues. We've already mentioned Terry and Dave and Tina and Jim and Marilyn. Dave, we mentioned. We think of Ron and Joanne and Shirley and Carol and Betty and Tim and Connie and Rick and Floyd and Helen and Amber and Darlene and Larry, and Ron and Barb and Tootie and Jolene, Mary and Jerry, Ron and Jenny, Michelle, Renee, Joanne, Arvilla, Glenn, Kim, Heath, Father, and many, many more. It is such a comfort as a part of a church family to know that dozens, if not hundreds, of people are praying for us when we're ill, when we're down, when we're struggling. We need that so desperately, and you know that. And so you've drawn us together to be a support network for each other, as well as a worshiping body and a church that serves you in the world. We think of Brett and Joy, homebound right now in a facility where they just can't get out to be with us. We pray for them as well, that they may still feel a part of this congregation. We pray for our missionaries, the ones that we are deeply privileged to help support, so that the gospel can continue to make inroads into a very, very hostile world. Father, we pray for our country, and we pray for the direction of our country, and we just entrust our leaders to you. And we ask that you would guide them. We ask that the days ahead may be good days for us as a nation, but also days when we look to you for our direction, for our strength, for our moral stability. And we thank you for all of the blessings that we receive as Americans. Sometimes we take them for granted. Forgive us for that, Father. And again, I want to pray, Father, for those who may be visiting with us today. It is our joy as a congregation to welcome new folks from week to week. And it is just a privilege to extend the love of Christ and a warm welcome to people who can be blessed by their fellowship with us and with you. We pray that the ministry of Jethro Radio may continue strong. And now we pray for this YouTube outreach. And we pray that through all of that, your name may be glorified and people may be brought to the cross and to that decisive change in their lives. Thank you for the music that we can sing as a congregation, for the choir, and for other ministries of music, and for Paul's leadership. And we pray you'll continue to bless that aspect of our church life together. Father, we just pause now to say thank you for all the ways that we are blessed by your kindness. And many times that kindness is expressed through our brothers and sisters in Christ. And so we thank you for that experience. We pray your blessing on the rest of this worship service. We entrust the opening of your word to you. And we ask now that you'd be with us and close to us. We pray this through the words of Jesus when he taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. We're going to sing again, this time number 79, My Jesus, I Love Thee. Standing to sing if you're able. to thank Beth for our song leading today, and Ruth for her piano accompaniment. Our scripture today is found near the back of the Bible, 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter, chapter 1, and verses 3 through 9 is what we'll be reading. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may be proven genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not yet seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. That's an amazing passage of scripture written by an ex-fisherman, obviously inspired by Almighty God. Let's just pause for a moment of prayer, shall we, before we begin? Father, we pray that today as we look into these words, that we may experience them personally, that you would speak to us in your still small voice and remind us that we belong to you. We pray that through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, the message today basically is built around one illustration. And credit where credit is due, I first heard this illustration years ago from a very, very famous Bible teacher, one of the most brilliant Bible teachers out there in the United States. And he said it helped him to understand deep spiritual truths. And when I heard it for the first time, I thought he's right. In its own simple way, it can help us to understand things that are beyond our minds by nature. The illustration has to do with a box, and so I brought a box today. And I'm going to put it right here where everybody can see it. It's just a simple, ordinary box, but it will be kind of the center of focus today as we go along. I want you to open up your imaginations now, and I want you to begin to picture inside of that box. Inside of that box is the entire universe. Billions and billions of stars, they're in that box. Did you know that our universe is so big that we can't even begin to wrap our minds around it. The nearest star outside of our galaxy, and there are billions of galaxies, let alone tens of billions of stars, the nearest star outside our galaxy is Alpha Centauri, and it's 25 trillion miles away. That's the nearest one. And Alpha Centauri has no planets. Even if we could travel at the speed of light, which is over 600 million miles an hour, it would take us over 4 years just to get to this nearest star, traveling that fast. Beyond that, who knows what's out there? Literally billions and billions of stars, light years apart. And they're all in that box. Millions of galaxies, which contain themselves millions of stars, and one relatively small galaxy called the Milky Way. Inside of that relatively small galaxy, our solar system with the sun and the planets and the moons and this tiny, tiny little speck called the Earth that's in the box. And on Earth, the oceans, the dry lands, the mountains, the deserts, all of nature, all of life, and all of the life forms, the changing of the seasons, everything, it's in the box. Now, here's where it gets even more complicated. The whole span of history, from the very beginnings of the world, when God called things into creation out of nothing by the very power of His voice, the very beginnings of history, all the way through the Middle Ages and the time of the Reformation, and now we're getting into times closer to us, all of the wars that we remember and so on. All of history, every single date, every single event, it's in the box. Spanning all the way to the very end of time. We don't know when that is yet, but it's also in the box. Everything that we know in our minds and have experienced and sensed, the unfolding of time, past, present, and future, the linear tracking of time, it's all in the box. Yesterday, today, tomorrow. The miracle of birth, which we as the Bergsma family experienced a month ago, welcomed our granddaughter into the world. May. All of life as it develops and all of life as it changes from day to day as we move through life and as we grow older and then eventually as we die, ashes to ashes, dust to dust. It's in the box. Understand this. You and I are in the box. We were born into it, and we will die within it. And we live our lives and experience everything within the box. Understand also this. There is no way out of the box. It contains us. Even if we were to jump on a spacecraft right now, rocket out into space, we would not escape the box. We would still only be exploring just the first reaches of God's creation. We were born into it, and we will die within it. All of it takes place within the box. Now, from the earliest days of people, from inside of that box, we began to dream and hope and wonder about something beyond and outside of the box. We wondered about some kind of an existence or some sort of a force, some sort of a creator, a God, maybe another realm outside of what we experience, outside of the box. Maybe we'll call it heaven, maybe we'll call it hell, whatever you call it. People have, from the very beginning, dreamed about something out there beyond what we can experience in the here and now. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any hope. We'd just simply live out our days and we would melt into oblivion. We would return to the dust and there would be nothingness. There would be our body and our consciousness would just simply cease to exist. And so people have thought about this. Gods were invented. Philosophies of life were invented. There must be something out there. Speculations about what God was like. Is he friendly? Does he notice us? Is he powerful? Can he deal with us? Was he responsible for the creation of the world? Does he like us? Is he just an impersonal force? Does he change? Does he make contact with us? Is he strong or is he weak? What is he like? Does he have some sort of moral standards? Is he kind or is he mean? Does he get angry? And out of all of this, religions were born. Religions that hope to explain the meaning of life and where we go from here and all of that kind of thing. When I was in college, one of my majors was comparative religion. And I studied pretty much all of them. Hinduism, Native American religions, nature religions, New Age religions, Satanism, Wicca, Christian Science, Scientology, Baha'i, Kabbalah, Mormonism, Jehovah's Witness, all of the different religions had some sort of an answer to the question of what's life all about and where are we going and do we exist after we die and where are we headed and all of those kind of things. And that's just an instinctive thing that people do because we need hope. We need something to project on, something to draw us forward, some kind of hope that this is not all there is, what I'm experiencing right now. Each has a different theory. Each has a different explanation of God and life and death and the meaning of life and what happens after we die in the box. All promise some glimmer of hope. If we knew how we could find our way out to the other side, if we knew how to please God so that He would assist us, if we knew how to appease God so that we could make up for our past, if we knew the secret to these things, then maybe there could be some hope that we could go beyond this life and to a better place. Now, all of that brings us to the Bible. to the one true God and to what he created and what he says about that creation. The Scripture makes it extremely clear God is responsible for that box and for everything in it. I want you to listen to these Psalms. By the word of the Lord, the heavens were made, the starry host by the breath of His mouth. Praise Him, all His angels. Praise Him, all His heavenly hosts. Praise Him, sun and moon. Praise Him, all you shining stars. Praise Him, you highest heavens, and you waters above the sky. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for at His command they were created, and He established them forever and ever. He issued a decree that will never pass away. In the book of Amos, it says, He who forms the mountains, who created the wind, and reveals His thoughts to mankind, who turns the dawn to darkness and treads on the heights of the earth, the Lord God Almighty, that is His name. And this theme is found throughout the Bible. The interesting thing here is this Bible we have tells us about God creating the box and all of creation. And it comes from outside the box. The Word of God comes from beyond the box. And miraculously, God used people within the box to write down His thoughts and to communicate with us. And that's exactly what happens in the Bible. It is truly a miracle. We don't realize it when we open this book on our laps, what a miracle it really is. This comes from beyond that box that we live in. And it is God in love communicating with us and setting us straight. I did it. I created all things. I created space and time and the movement of all of history. It's all in my hands, He says in this incredible book. And I created you, He says. I did it. And all the miracles of life and all the miracles of the natural world that we observe, the changing of the seasons. And aren't you about ready for spring? All of it. God says, I am responsible for it. And then he introduced Himself to us in this book. From beyond the box, He introduced Himself to us. And He said, I'm your Father in heaven. I'm your Creator. And in the very beginning, I dwelt and I walked among you in the Garden of Eden. And then I was rejected. Then you rebelled against me. Then you kicked me out of your life. There was corruption and you didn't want to have anything to do with me. You rejected my love and my relationship. There was disrespect. But God says through the Word, I reached out to you and I forgave you. And I began to speak to you and I called together a nation called the people of God. And I revealed myself to them and I rescued them from their sins and from themselves. I made a nation out of them. I gave them my law. I opened my heart to them. I spoke my heart to them. And I told them what makes me pleased. I gave them the gift of a relationship. And then I sent them messengers called the prophets, and I spoke to them again when they began to wander off and reject me again, and I called them back. And then finally, I sent my only son into the box for the express purpose of rescuing them salvation from sin and from its consequences, eternal death. I rescued them from themselves, and I rescued them from the box. And I gave them hope that there's a way out of the box. He sent His Son from beyond the box, from another realm, miraculously into the box, to become one of us and to give us hope that one day we would not simply die and be forgotten in the box. Listen. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in Him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. All things have been created through Him and for Him. He is before all things, and in Him all things hold together. And He is the head of the body, the church. He's the beginning of the firstborn from among the dead, so that in Him everything He might have supremacy. For God was pleased to have all of His fullness dwell in Him. And somehow, God in all of His fullness in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ went from the realm outside the box into the box, miraculously, somehow, and became one of us. And before He left, He gave us hope that we too would not simply draw our last breath and die in the box. He sent Him in love to offer us a way to exit the box and live, to join Him in a beautiful place, a perfect creation, a perfect existence, no filth, no pain, no crime, no fentanyl, no final days, no hospice. He said, now, He said, you can have hope. Listen, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation, the box waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the One who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning as if in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. We groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope, we were saved. But hope that's not seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they've already received? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait for it patiently. Paul wrote that. And it describes now the hope that we have in Christ. That passage that I read earlier, written by the fisherman, talks about this inheritance that we have and about this life that is coming to us. And it's guarded right now outside the box. And one day, it says, we will exit the box in the blink of an eye and receive this precious inheritance, this gift, which is the gift of life itself. We will not simply live and die and be forgotten in the box. Now, in closing, how do you connect with the God who lives beyond the box? Right now, He's taken care of that. The Bible says that He, when Jesus died for us and rose again from the dead and ascended back to heaven, Jesus said, I'm going so that you can be blessed. And what did He send? He sent the Holy Spirit to those who would simply ask for Him. And that Holy Spirit comes in, and it's the Holy Spirit. He's our way outside of the box right now. He's a way for us to connect long distance with God outside the box. That's why prayer is so important. It's why it's such a supernatural thing. We can communicate and listen to God as we open the Scriptures, all because of the Holy Spirit. We open this book and He makes it come alive for us. We begin to speak and God hears us. All of that due to the Holy Spirit. He's like a giant hug from heaven. We need the Holy Spirit, the comforter in our lives, in more ways than one. And prayer is a way to access His presence. Worship is an extension of prayer. Worship through music and through Bible reading and through celebration with our brothers and sisters. It's our way of saying, Father, we love You. Thank You, Father, for our way out of the box. We'll be forever and ever and ever grateful for it. Church is not an exclusive club of do-gooders and holier-than-thou people and religious types. Church is instead an eternal family called together by God to share hope that one day we will join Him outside the box. And we need to keep reminding each other of that. It's one of the reasons you're a part of this church, so that you can be a reminder to someone who needs to hear those words again. You know, we're going to be together a million years from now, outside the box, in a place too beautiful for us to even imagine right now. It's one of the reasons why we're a church. The other is to tell people about this whole business that I've just laid out. Lots of people are still trying to find the right religion, trying to find the right way to approach God, to appease God. We don't have to do that. He came to us. And He offered us the ultimate inheritance. Let me tell you what's going to happen here as we draw closer to the end of our lives. And this is straight from the mouth of Almighty God. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in Me. In My Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you outside the box. And I will come back and take you to be with Me, that you may also be where I am. You know the way to the place where I'm going. In other words, when our time does come in this world, we have hope that we're going to get a personal escort out of the box and into the realm of eternity. It's mind-boggling. And so we live in hope that life will not be the end, but will continue with our Lord, praise His name, outside the box. What a hope. What a hope that is. Let's pray. Father, it's almost too much for us to take in what lies ahead of us, but it's true. And we know that You've made it possible through Jesus, and You ask us only now to cling in faith to Him. So we do that, each in our own way. We cling in faith to Jesus, knowing that He will personally escort us outside the box and into the place that You have prepared for us. That makes it possible for us to continue now, even with our struggles, even with our hurts, even with our pains, even with our unanswered questions, even with our times of depression. We can make it because You have given us hope. For that we will always be grateful. We pray that now in Jesus' name. Amen. The song is number 690, He Leadeth Me. I'm going to invite our deacons forward as we now come before God with our tithes and offerings. Father, we celebrate your goodness to us every day. You take care of us and then so much more. You provide for our needs. And Father, you give us the ability to be generous. And thank you, Father, for the generosity of your people. Thank you for the Holy Spirit leading us to give so that others may come to know Jesus Christ and have the hope that we celebrate each week. We continue to bless, Father, those who make this ministry possible and supply us all with the means to return thanks to you in monetary form. We thank you in Christ's name. Amen. After the benediction, we're going to close with just the first verse of Lord, dismiss us with thy blessing. It's number 237. In your hymnal. Receive God's blessing. Now the peace that passes all understanding, the peace that's found in knowing Jesus as Savior and Lord, may that peace go with you and abide with you now and forevermore. Amen.
Thank you.
brings to a close this week's broadcast from 8th Reformed Church in Wyoming, Michigan. We hope that you've received a rich blessing from this time spent around the Word of God. If you're not able to join us in person, we invite you to tune in to Jethro FM each Sunday morning at this time. If you'd like a CD of one of our services, call the church office during the week at 616-452-9417, and we'll be happy to send you one free of charge. Until next Sunday at 9:30, it's our prayer that the Lord will watch over you and keep you in His care.